A quick heads up, this episode contains a brief mention of suicide, as well as some barnyard language.
Please be advised. From Wondery, I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams.
And I'm Brooke Sifrin.
And this is Even the Rich. Over the last three episodes, we've taken a deep dive into the story of Dolly Parton. And I gotta say, the more I learn about her, the more I love her.
Question for you. If you had a choice, would you spend a whole day at Disneyland or Dollywood?
You know I love a good scandal. So as we wrap up our Dolly season, I'm going with Disney.
Oof.
But Dollywood does look cool.
Wow, I can't believe you would turn down the chance to see a Dolly Parton hologram.
Okay, I'll take a hologram Dolly over a cryogenically frozen Walt Disney any day.
Okay, that's dark, and I like it.
But in all seriousness, today we're diving into the life and legacy of Dolly Parton. And here to join us is Justin Kirkland. Justin's a culture writer in New York City, but he hails from East Tennessee, just like Dolly. He's a huge fan of hers, and he even created the podcast My Year with Dolly during lockdown, where he broke down her career one year at a time, every week for 52 weeks. Not to mention, he's actually met her. He got to interview her when he was just starting out as a writer.
God, I'm so jealous, and I cannot wait to hear that story.
Justin, thank you so much for joining us here on Even the Rich.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm pumped to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about where you're from and what Dolly means to people around there?
Yeah. So, I mean, Dolly was such a fixture growing up in so many ways, just because she's done so much to help East Tennessee and bring so many of its issues to light. I made a joke recently that I guess is not so much of a joke, because I remember growing up, we learned the words to Rocky Top, first and foremost. Then we learned the words to I Will Always Love You in like first grade. And then we learned the national anthem. It was so weird, because Dolly was prioritized as this like patron saint of East Tennessee. And I grew up at the time where the Imagination Library launched. So she was just ever present. And there's not a single person, even non-country music fans back home, that don't recognize her as this powerful force in their lives growing up in East Tennessee.
Now, for those who haven't heard it, tell us about the song Rocky Top.
Oh, gosh.
Or sing it.
Yeah, it's your national anthem.
Yeah.
I wish there were more whiskey in this coffee cup. Wait, what? It's absolutely unhinged. I'm just thinking of like a few lyrics that jump out. It's like wild as a skimp buck, sweet as soda pop. I still dream about that. Rocky Top will always be home sweet home to me. What does that mean? Like what's going on there?
Great question. Rocky Top, Tennessee.
But it's a great unifier.
So you've actually met the iconic Queen Dolly Parton. Walk us through all of that. How did you get the interview? What happened? Did she show you all of her wigs? Tell us everything.
I've dreamed of living in one of her wigs, but no, I haven't. Unfortunately, I haven't seen any of them. So I kind of got the assignment thrown to me because my editor knew that I was a really big fan. I hadn't interviewed anyone before, and I tanked the interview, absolutely tanked it. Couldn't catch my breath, was terrified the whole time, and she stopped me. And in that like signature high-pitched Dolly voice, she goes, what part of Tennessee are you from? And I said, East Tennessee, a little town called Seymour. And she goes, oh my God, you know where the Kentucky Fried Chicken and the Taco Bell is up there on Chapman Highway? And something just washed over me, and I was like, I'm okay.
Oh my God.
So after that, I slowed down, and the interview was great. But Dolly Parton is the reason I have a stable career in interview journalism.
Wow.
what do you think that says about her that she did that?
She looks after people that are kind of coming up, whether it's, you know, some terrified pseudo-journalist over the phone or if it's, you know, an up-and-coming country music performer. I think that that's kind of in her nature. She just does it over and over.
Yeah, she does have that very caring vibe to her that just, I love it. So, I mean, what impact did that experience have on you? I mean, other than making you the journalist you are today?
So probably for the first year that I did interviews, I would find a way to bring Dollywood up in the first like 5 minutes because everybody has that as a point of reference. And I feel like if I could get to that point and have this like common thread in my interviews, that it calmed me down and strangely enough, calmed the other person down. So yes. I like to think of Dolly, at least in my life, as my personal career Zoloft. I chill out and then I can get the job done.
I love that. What do you have, like a really good Dollywood story that someone's given you?
Oh God, I have a really good Dollywood story that I can give you from my personal life.
Okay.
Oh, please. Yeah.
We used to go to Dollywood probably like 2 or 3 times a year. Back in East Tennessee, if you worked at like a whole suite of places, you got free tickets because Dolly kind of, Dolly and Dollywood give so many tickets out to local businesses so that you can come and enjoy it, whatnot. So we were always excited for the Dollywood trip, but I had a problem because we would get there at probably 8 a.m. and we would typically leave around 4 p.m. but at about 1, I was a crier as a kid. So I would like excuse myself while getting like a hot dog or something. And my parents would find me crying at like 1 p.m. And they're like,
"Oh my god,
you're sad about leaving, aren't you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm sad about leaving." So I have this little thing called Dollywood syndrome. Anytime that I'm like dreading a good thing being over, I remember being at Dollywood and being like, "You got to snap out of it because you've wasted at least 50% of your time at Dollywood being sad about leaving Dollywood."
Oh my gosh. What a conscious child, though, to be like, excuse me, I'm going to go cry and not just like make a scene. Justin, would you say people where you grew up have more of an appreciation for Dolly than a lot of other people have? Or is she so glorified there that it's harder for people to fully appreciate her, or maybe even both?
I think it's almost a different appreciation. I liken it a lot to the Smoky Mountains. Like, they were always there growing up. And they're beautiful, and people from all over the world come to see them. But I didn't realize that they were there until I was gone, which has been a big part of my experience with Dolly personally. But I think for the people there, it's easy to forget that she isn't just kind of like a creation of our hometown, that she's become this bigger thing. And I think... to an extent, when people come across like the good deeds that she's done, particularly in the past few years, it's something that East Tennesseans lovingly like kind of eye roll a bit because it's something we've always known. Like the work that she's done, it's just kind of exploded, and the rest of the world's being introduced to something that has always been familiar to us.
Okay, so it's more of a like of. We already knew this.
Exactly.
How did you guys not?
A really like
we're
arrogant,
late to the party.
Like, yeah, that's our philanthropist, okay?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
I also feel like in the last few years, there's definitely been this pretty big resurgence of, I want to say, universal love and respect for Dolly Parton. I've yet to find somebody poo-poo her. Not that I'm looking for it.
Right.
Justin, what's your take on that? Why do you think she's seeing this new level of adoration and respect?
I worry about it. I worry about this so much because we live in a time where there's a lot of hyperbole one direction or the other. And I think that probably Dolly is concerned about it as well because she is one of the first people that would say that she's not perfect. But, but we've been kind of, I think we're looking for heroes right now. We're looking for the helpers to quote every Mr. Rogers quote that you've seen on like your friend's Instagram story. Dolly is like such an ultimate helper and has done so many good things. We're like grasping for heroes, and there's not a lot of, there's not a lot of holes that you can poke in her resume. So she's entered into this era. She's dealt with a lot of shit that women in her line of work haven't recovered from, or they've been knocked down and haven't been able to get back up. And she's almost like otherworldly in the way that she's managed to trudge through her entire career the way she has.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good way of putting it.
Yeah, it really is.
So were you always a Dolly fan growing up? I mean, you grew up in East Tennessee. She was your anthem. Or was there a time later in life when Dolly really came to mean something to you in a more personal way?
Yeah, I mean, I think growing up as a little gay boy in East Tennessee, I had my own special experience with her. But for me, I really found that I connected with the whole of her when I left home. I started looking for things that made me feel connected to home. And Dolly was one of the prime things. And it was going back and listening to all of her music and kind of getting acquainted with who she was, who she is as a person, and and how she delivered Tennessee to the rest of the world, that kind of helped me realize how I could do that in my own life.
Is there like a particular song of hers that just like really takes you home?
Oh gosh. One of my favorite things to hear is Dolly sing something that's on the religious fringe, because she takes these ideas about like God and faith and she makes them so much bigger than that, if that makes any sense. I've been listening to Hello God, and so much of the song she's just kind of like singing to God, and she goes, this free will that we've been given, we've made a mockery of. And it's just about this idea that we've used our religion and our faith and the thing that inspires us to kind of like target each other and hurt one another.
We fight and kill each other in your name, defending you. Do you love some more than others? We're so lost and confused.
Which I think that answer probably drifts a little bit off of the question, but it speaks so much to, I find myself going through her songbook and finding answers to issues that are going on in life that I hadn't heard before. And I think that kind of speaks to the power of her personal experience put to song.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank?
Literally always.
Okay. Well, the new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look, and it comes in luxe gold packaging. It feels incredibly high-end, but it is a lot more affordable.
Oh, yeah. The Panorama Mascara lives up to its name by giving your lashes panoramic volume and a fully fanned-out look. Its tapered mascara wand catches every single lash, including those hard-to-reach corner lashes. When I do wear makeup, I do the bare minimum, and that's usually eyeliner and mascara and lip gloss. Yeah. And so mascara has to really pop.
Yes.
And let me tell you, L'Oreal, this baby pops.
Yeah. I do love the packaging. Like, I'm all about that.
So if you're looking for an affordable mascara that gives you voluminous, lengthened lashes, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
So as a listener of Even the Rich, you know that audio piques the imagination, which is why we're so excited for Audible's new collection of exclusive thrillers. They feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances that really bring the story to life.
Oh, yeah. The next listen on my list is the psychological thriller, The Silent Patient.
Ooh.
So it's all about a therapist who tries to unravel the mystery of a woman who refuses to talk or give any explanation as to why she shot her husband. I mean, it's going to be the perfect binge listen, and you know I love my thrillers.
I can agree. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
Yeah, new members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/eventherich or text eventherich to 500-500.
That's audible.com/eventherich or text eventherich to 500-500 to get started.
So, Justin, you actually created a podcast about Dolly Parton.
Yes.
Tell us all about it.
Absolute personal disaster, because I decided coming out of 2019, I was like, 2020 feels like a hopeful year. What if you did a weekly podcast? Not knowing.
We all had that thought, Justin. Don't worry.
Yeah.
It was I don't want to say journey because that's so, it was an epic. We'll go with epic because okay. I wanted to get to know this woman that I admired so much. And I wanted to get to know her on kind of an intimate, annoying amount of information level. I wanted to go through her entire career and just talk about it in really plain language, not so much about like the cultural impact or what have you, but just kind of present an auditory biography of this woman and learn a whole bunch about her myself. And it was incredible. And it was, to be cliche, like kind of therapeutic going through 2020 to know that every week I was going to sit with a whole year that this woman I admire so much had gone through.
Yeah, I love that. Was there anything that you learned about her that surprised you?
I think the one thing that really surprised me is that she keeps so much of herself close to the vest. And the things that you can learn about Dolly that may not be explicit are first found in her music and secondly found in the choices that she doesn't make. She had this one journalist that she worked with. He did like the famous Playboy interview that's just an incredible read, just like this back and forth between them. His name's Lawrence Grobel, and he's an incredible journalist. But they had done like three profiles together, I think, and they were supposed to meet up for another one, and he had an opportunity to interview Charles Manson. She caught wind of it and told him, if you do that, like, we can't speak again. Like, you and I, like, are kind of done. And he was like, what, why would you say that? What do you mean? And she goes, that man's evil. Like, if the fact that you're considering it, like, makes me question you, because I know you to be like a very sensitive, thoughtful person. And he didn't take the interview to maintain his relationship with Dolly. And even after that, like, Dolly kept a distance.
Oh, wow.
And it's, I find stuff like that fascinating, because I think that that's when you really kind of get to like the core of who someone is. When you hear those stories and how they move forward on stuff that maybe isn't so, you know, like cut and dry, so decided.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if he like realized she kept her distance and was like, damn, I wish I would have just done that Charles Manson interview now.
Yeah. He's like written about one first and foremost. It's he's written about it, and he's written about the distance that followed and whether or not he felt like it was a good decision. But I think that shows the power of Dolly, because she said, no, I'm going to stick with my morals and I'm going to do this regardless.
Yeah, that's something that I think that's my favorite thing about her, is she's been consistent in her beliefs, and especially in time periods where it wasn't popular at all. She was just like, this is what I believe and I'm sticking with it.
Yeah.
So, Justin, each episode of your show, like you said, broke down 1 year in Dolly's career. What do you think are the three most important but underrated moments of her career, and why?
I'm still a little biased, because my favorite discovery was, I believe it was around 1999. She had like a whole decade of misses. She was trying to continue her film career and it was just a bust. She was trying to continue this kind of like pop country vibe, and that wasn't working. And it was in 1999 that she pivoted over to bluegrass and had this like incredible, like holy trinity of bluegrass albums. The first one's The Grass is Blue, the second one's Little Sparrow, and the third one is Halos and Horns. And it really kind of dials back everything that Dolly was about to her early career, to songwriting and to East Tennessee. And I think that that was the year that she started laying the groundwork for how she was going to be remembered, because she hasn't really deviated too far from that persona and like that kind of core of who she is. The second one is, it's not so much underrated and that people don't know about it, but Islands in the Stream was originally written by the Bee Gees. I believe it was Barry Gibb, who was like, hold on, let me grab my cell phone in like 1970 something.
right.
He was like, let me get the rotary and I'll give Dolly a call real quick. And he did. And Dolly was like, yeah, I'll be over in a few minutes. And wow. I believe came over that day. And that's when they did the first demo. So that I mean, I think was just like a huge moment in her career. And then I think the other one, a lot of people look to Taylor Swift in the way that she's like reclaimed her career and she's re-releasing all these albums. Dolly broke off her relationship with her recording studio and started recording her own music and producing it herself. I believe the album is New Gathering First Harvest is the first one that she did under her own production. And it kind of got panned at the time, but has become like a cult favorite of all of her albums. So it's just these little moments where she re-engineered her career in a way that was unprecedented at the time. Because like, how many people can you think of where it's like Barry Gibb's like, let me give them a call real quick. And like, it's the it's the like woman who is the crux of the situation. I just think she's such a badass for all three of those, because it was three major moments where she completely changed the trajectory of her career and it was on her shoulders to do so.
Yeah, I love it. God. So taking it back to your show, you had this segment called Parton Words, which I love.
Yeah.
God, it's I beautiful. Love a good pun. So it was at the end of each episode and it was where people shared stories about how Dolly had touched their lives. Could you share a few stories that people have shared with you that really stand out in your memory?
I really enjoyed talking to a drag queen named Ginger Minge, who is on RuPaul's Drag Race, but was also in Dumplin'. And she spoke about like the brief time that she got to meet her while shooting Dumplin', but also going back to this trip to Dollywood when Ginger was a child. And I believe Ginger called herself like a little rotund little boy. And getting to meet Dolly and being so scared of the situation, and then Dolly telling Ginger that she was going to be a star someday. And I feel like she just has that kind of imprint on people's lives where like even the smallest interaction just kind of captivates you and inspires you. Because I know Dolly doesn't remember telling Ginger that, just like Dolly doesn't remember like walking me through an interview with... with the very important hallmark of like Taco Bell on Chapman Highway. But like, I hold on to that. Ginger holds on to that. And it's, those were the little moments. Cause I kept expecting somebody to tell me this like major moment that they had had with Dolly, but every interaction, the ones that were the most special to people were these throwaway moments that no one else in the world would care about. But like, they have this profound impact on the person's life who lived it.
Yeah.
It's very similar to her music. It's very similar to her persona. There's something that just speaks to people. There's a sincerity there that I think captivates people. And I think what makes Dolly so special right now is that sincerity and that authenticity feels even rarer these days. Mm-hmm. That it's almost arresting. When you interact with something that she's put online or a new song that's come out or a new venture that she's doing, you really do feel like you're in the club, that she's speaking to you and you're like, yeah, that's my Aunt Dolly. And then somebody's like, oh, that's your Aunt Dolly too? That's my Aunt Dolly. But nobody thinks to question that we all feel that way. We just accept that like she's working through all of us in a really special way.
I'll tell you what, she really made me want a Taco Bell Mexican pizza. And she posted that the other day. I was like, that does look good. If Dolly thinks so, I want it too.
I've been with AT&T for years, but I threw my phone out the window during the Super Bowl when she said T-Mobile. I was like, well, here we are.
That's it. T-Mobile it is.
I heard that she wore cargo pants and flip-flops, so I wore cargo pants and flip-flops.
Exactly.
One of the other things that Dolly is impressively famous for, in my opinion, is how she can toe what feels like an impossible line of being a beloved figure to liberal America and conservative America. And people kind of look at her as sort of apolitical, but I don't know that that's really true. Justin, what are some examples of the ways Dolly has taken a stand on an issue?
Oh, I think, again, it goes back to so much of her music. And her legacy, the two examples that pop out to me is there's a series of songs early in her career that she did that have radical messages And I was doing long distance with my boyfriend. He was in DC, I was in New York, and I was on the bus on the way back. This poor man was sitting next to me, and I was making my way through a song called The Bridge. And it's about this woman who is pregnant, and the man who got her pregnant is kind of out of the picture. And she returns to the bridge where they met. And then at the end of the song, it just cuts off. The music cuts off. The vocals cut off.
Here is where it started. And here is where I'll end it.
And the way that I first heard it, I was like, oh, that like slip up makes it sound like she killed herself. So I went back and listened to the song. And it turns out that's how it was recorded. Like, it's recorded to suggest that she had this unwanted pregnancy. There was no way out of it. And she killed herself. Mm-hmm. Oh, and wow. I grabbed this man's wrist next to me like a sociopath. And that's why I'm not allowed on Megabus anymore.
Megabus.
top level. If you're not on the top level, you're not having a good time.
No, don't even get on it.
But I was,
can't be on top.
I was stunned because, like, how do you have that conversation? People are still weird about that conversation in 2022. This was in 1967. But then there's also, I grew up with one of the greatest dinner shows on earth called Dolly Parton Stampede, nay, Dixie Stampede. And there was kind of a bubbling up on whether that name should continue to exist. And Dolly took the reins on it and changed it to Dolly Parton Stampede and addressed it and said, you know, like, we're living in different times. Like, this has come to mean something different than what I knew it was. And this is about having a good dinner show experience, which I think is what we're all longing for every day. And she said, I'm gonna cut Dixie and I apologize. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't I'm a liberal or I'm a conservative. It was her saying, I want to do the morally right thing, no matter what camp that puts me in. So it's interesting because I think that the way that she's been able to remain apolitical is by framing every choice that she makes through morality, not through some kind of like complex political spectrum.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point. Wow.
Yeah.
So switching gears a little bit here, Dolly was officially voted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in May, but she did try to take herself out of the running. Can you just catch us up on the story there and where we're at now?
I'm going to be honest with you. It's really weird. Like, I love the woman. I think one of my biggest mistakes is spending a year deep diving into everything about her because I think I understand her at least as much as you can as a human a little bit more. And this was weird. Like, I don't know what happened here. I don't know who forgot to sit Dolly down and say, like, it says Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but it's also like Chili's. Like, you can get more than chili at Chili's.
Right.
It was bizarre, but she got nominated. She said, I don't feel like I deserve this honor. The internet does what the internet does. And they're like, oh, she surpassed Jesus again. Like, she's not taking this honor. And then I think somebody got in her ear and was like, listen, this is going to happen whether or not you want to be on the train. And she was like, fine, I'll be on the train.
Right.
Fine.
So she got it. She's entering into the Hall of Fame. And whether she wants it or not, I think she's lost a little bit of control of her fandom. And I think she's just hoping for the best.
Well, yeah, I mean, aren't we all?
Exactly, 100%.
The best. When you find new ways to save, you can reach your financial goals more easily and still have the occasional treat.
Exactly. And Chime's here to help you do that. With a Chime checking account, you can make financial progress with features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe or getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit.
Yep. So if you set up direct deposit into your Chime account and use an activated debit card, Chime will spot you up to your limit when you exceed your balance.
And I love that Chime never charges fees or interest for using SpotMe. To date, Chime has spotted members over $20 billion.
Oh my God. Take more control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/rich. That's chime.com/rich.
Chime feels like progress.
Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Optimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse the levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Optimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES. Promo code IFSTORIES10.
Okay, so Justin, I feel like if anybody can ace a pop quiz about Dolly, it's you. I honestly feel... Like this trivia we've prepared will be literally no match for you. But we like to play a little game at the end of these. So if you're down for it, we do have some Dolly trivia.
I'm so nervous, but I'm so ready.
I'm like, you know so much. I can't imagine.
I know. This feels like.
But we'll see. We'll see how
it's
it goes.
It's a rigged game.
Okay. So question one, how did Dolly's parents pay for her birth? A, 3 chickens. B, a sack of grains, or C, a Bible?
I'm pretty sure it's a sack of grains.
Yes.
Yes.
You are correct. You are correct. We saw oatmeal and cornmeal, so we just changed it to grains.
Sure.
We're like, well, it's that.
Controversial in the oatmeal, cornmeal communities, but okay.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yes. There's a big rivalry there. We just can't tap into it.
I get it.
Okay, second question. True or false? Dolly visited Porter Wagoner the day he died.
Oh, true.
Correct. I love how he's like, oh, true. Are you guys going to ask me an actual question? Like, or what?
I was there too. We yeah. We carpooled.
He's like, he had 2 hands. I was holding one of them. Okay. Question 3. What gift did Dolly's whole family save up for and give her mom for Christmas? A, a wedding band. B, a new car. C, a big screen TV.
It was a wedding band, right?
Yes,
it was. Justin, wow.
Thank you.
Nailing this. Okay, next question. Dolly owns more than how many wigs? A, 300. B, 500. C, 1,000.
I believe 500.
Okay.
Justin. Oh, my God.
Justin. Okay.
Sorry, no, that was me. She owns more than 1,000. I own
no.
She owns more than 300.
Yes.
Oh my God!
How did you know?
Because I'm a genius.
God, you're so good at this.
Question 5. This one's a little offbeat, so I would not be surprised if everyone got this wrong. Which of the male Friends characters has Dolly said she would marry? A, Ross. B, Joey. C, Chandler.
Oh, she seems like a big Joey guy.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Yeah. She does.
She said
like
he'd have syphilis and she'd get it treated for him. So I love that.
That's
so philanthropic always.
Amazing.
She is. Okay. I'm prefacing this with saying Brooke said if you answered this wrong, we're canceling the whole interview. So
perfect.
No pressure.
I just feel like this is something everyone knows, even if they're not a big Dolly fan. That's the reason I said that, but...
Okay, which of these singers gets to call Dolly godmother?
Well, Brooke, that's Miley Cyrus.
Exactly. See, I knew, Justin. I knew you would know. Next question, true or false? Dolly entered a Dolly lookalike drag contest and came in first place.
No, she lost.
Yeah, she did. That's rough.
Justin, when are you writing this biography? My God.
Oh, anytime. I knew someone that was, I believe that the bar was in East Tennessee. It's called Night of a Thousand Dollies. It's a little bar called XYZ. I believe that might be where it happened.
Wow. She came in last, right?
It's really embarrassing. It was like middling. I think it was like third. Because I feel like coming in last is hysterical. But if you're just like third best
so
dolly.
In the middle.
You're like, you get one rail gin and like soda. And you're like, well, what was this for?
Yeah.
Okay, this one I dug around and found. This might be one that gets you.
This one's crazy.
Which of these 90s teen drama shows did Dolly secretly serve as executive producer on?
Oh, I've got it.
Oh.
I'm not even giving you options.
It's Buffy, right?
Oh my God. Justin, what don't you know?
Through her production company, that Sneaky Snake.
Yes.
Wow. Sneaky Snake.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
I'm truly speechless right now. I can't believe you knew that. I was like, this is going to get him. I'm so clever at using the internet to find facts.
You are so clever. All right. True or false? Dolly's favorite ride at Dollywood is the Dragon Flyer.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
I would say false.
It is false.
You would be correct.
This is kind of a trick question. She apparently does not ride any of the rides.
Yeah, because of her hair.
Yes. She's quoted as saying, with all my hair, I got so much to lose, like my wig or my shoes. Wow, she's rhyming even in her.
She's everyday. Always writing music, even
really
when she's
is.
Talking.
I just realized that. Wow. All right, last question.
What do you think the legacy of Dolly Parton will be?
I think that she will be remembered first and foremost as a philanthropist. I think that the Imagination Library will be the thing that reaches the most amount of people. My boyfriend's from England, and he has a niece who just turned 3. And she's been getting the Imagination Library books. And that was such a wake-up call to me, because I didn't realize that was happening in England.
I didn't either.
It's expanded all over the globe, which is crazy. I hope personally that people will rediscover her early music, and that will be as big of a part of her legacy as anything else, because she really, in the first 15 years of her career, she was a radical, like an absolute radical, banned from country music radio for select songs. And I hope that people remember the work that she did there.
Yeah, love it.
Well, Justin, this has been so much fun. Thank you for joining us on Even the Rich. Truly just blowing us away with your Dolly knowledge. I'm very impressed.
I can't tell you how grateful I am to be part of it, and to know that there are more people out there putting the story of Dolly out into the world. It can never be told enough, like the Bible.
Amen.
Preach.
Thanks, y'all. Take care.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Even the Rich ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today, or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams.
And I'm Brooke Ziffrin. This episode was produced by Haley Gray and Peter Arcuni. Our audio engineer is Sergio Enriquez. Our coordinating producer is Matt Gant. Our managing producer is Tanja Thigpen. Kate Young is our series producer. Our executive producers are Stephanie Jens, Jenny Lauer-Beckman, and Marsha Louie for Wondery. Once upon a beat.
Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuge, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.